Hari Om. So with God's grace, we finished Dakshinamurti Stotram. And today, we will begin a new text, Advaita Mata. Both texts are very philosophical in their nature, and both require deep import, deep thinking. So we invoke the grace and blessings of Bhagavan and our Puja Gurudev that as we study, we understand and our interest grows more in this knowledge of the Lord. Who is the author? Let us start with that first. Of Advaita. So this 28 shloka text was composed by a poet named Lakshmidhara. So, and I think that's how he got his name, Lakshmidhara Kavi. So then people started calling him Lakshmidhara Kavi. So it is believed that he was a great scholar and a poet for the king Bhoj. Now we hear this Raja Bhoj Ganguteli. So that is the king Bhoj. And king Bhoj is from Odisha. So this we're talking about 11th century, 12th century time. Approximate. So Lakshmidhara Kavi has composed this 28 verses, Advaita Makrata. And little about Lakshmidhara Kavi is that he has also composed other two texts that are known. And I'm not aware of any other text that he has written. There may have been other texts, but either they are obsolete or in manuscript form, so not aware of. But the other two texts that he is famous for is one is called Amrita Tarangini. Amrita Tarangini. And Amrita Tarangini is his commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. And the third text is Bhagavan Nama Kaumudi. You don't need to know these things. I'm just saying to show how rare this text is, because of the three texts that are known, the two are bhakti-related texts. Because when you write a commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, you're not going to write about all that Vedanta that is there. Obviously, Vedanta is there. But whoever writes, Veda Vyasji also, when he wrote, it was because of his bhakti, his devotion. So that expressed his devotion. And then names of Bhagavan, Bhagavan Nama Kaumudi. So expressing the glory in the names of Bhagavan. So those two are bhakti texts. Advaita Makaranda alone is the Vedantic text. And from this also we come to know what kind of person Lakshmidhara Kavi was. He was a great scholar. But you know, Kavi was not his last name or anything. Kavi is like a title given. You know, when somebody is has lived up to that mark, then that's the title given. Like that, you know, we don't say Shankaracharya because his surname was Acharya. Acharya was a title given to him based on the commentaries that he wrote. Like that, Lakshmidhara Kavi. So Kavi means Krantadarshi, one who has great insight, depth into the knowledge of the self. And that's what we find when we study this Advaita Mata. And the commentary on this Advaita Makaranda is written by Swayam Prakashanti. And I didn't plan it like this, but it, I guess, happened. Dakshinamurti Stotram was another commentary written by Swayam Prakashanti. So we didn't see the commentary. We saw the shlokas, but some of the points that I was mentioning obviously did come from the commentary. So, Dakshinamurti Sotram, and there's another sotram called Harimide Sotram. So, on those, and this is the third one, that Swayam Prakashayati ji has written a commentary. And when we will see this commentary that he has written, you will see the depth that Swayam Prakashayati ji goes into. Very methodical, very logical. He puts the point and gives also an example of the point. If possible for you, you know, there's a PDF published by, I think, SIF, of different texts. And I think there's one text for Advaita Makaranda also. I forget the name of the Swami, but he's with Divine Life Society, and he was a student with our batch, our course. So these are his notes that he has taken. But one of the interesting thing in that is towards the end, there's a great summary given of each shloka and what it does. So if you want to download that PDF, that will be very helpful in keeping a brief overview of each shloka. There are 28 shlokas, and with each shloka, we'll find how Lakshmidhar Kavi is explaining to us why I am of the nature of Satchidananda. Other than Satchidananda, I cannot be anything else. And Swayam Prakashayati ji has to prove it. That is a fact, that is a truth. So he elaborates on that truth with an example. So summary of that is very important. So if we can get our hands on it, that will be great. If time permits today, I may just pull it up and just show you what it looks like. But if not, next time I can show you what it is. So Swayam Prakashayati ji wrote the commentary. And of there are actually six commentaries on Advaita Makaranda, but the very famous one is by Swayam Prakashayati. And that's because the way it has been presented makes it so. And we'll see that how it is. There's one story which we have all heard of. I'm sure everybody here has heard of the story, but we never knew what the context of that story was. At least when I used to hear it, I would wonder, where is the story coming from? This is the context of that story. And it is related to Lakshmidhar. Just to talk about, you know, who's this author and why is it important to just study the text. So Lakshmidhar Kavi had gone for a bath. He had gone out. And he told his son that I'm going for a while. I'll take bath and come back. Make sure you handle everything. Whoever comes, you take care of them. At that time, in the absence of Lakshmidhar Kavi, King Bhoj comes to Lakshmidhar Kavi's place. And he says, "Where is your father?" "My father has gone out. He will come. Why don't you have a seat?" King says, "No, no, I'm very disturbed right now. I cannot have my mind peaceful. I've committed a great sin and I want an answer to make myself peaceful." Jesus, the son tells him, "Why are you so bothered? Bhagwan is there. Bhagwan will take care of everything for you. Do not worry. Just chant the name of Bhagwan 3 times every day. And everything will be done." So like that, he solaced, he made the king feel peaceful, and the king left. Father came and the son narrated the story. "But this is what happened, and I told the king this solution." Lakshmidhar Kavi, he slapped the boy. He says, "How dare you tell that he has to take Bhagwan's name 3 times? He says, "What's wrong?" He says, "Do you think Bhagwan's name is that weak that somebody has to chant 3 times? 1 time is enough." So like that, his devotion was for Bhagwan. Then we know who authored, who composed this text. It creates an interest in now studying the text. Why I must study this text? Why it becomes so important for me to understand this passage? Okay, so that is about the author. Now, a little bit about the text. Advaita Makaranda. The word Advaita Makaranda, we split it into two. Makaranda means honey. And Advaita means non-dual. But Advaita also means Brahman. So, honey of non-dual bliss, an English way of putting it. So what is the text going to talk about? Honey of non-dual bliss. This word, Makaranda, can be understood in 3 ways. One meaning of the word honey, one meaning of the word Makaranda is honey. So if we take that meaning, honey, then the text will speak about Brahman being the honey, Advaita being the honey. So what will I get out of this? I will get out of this knowledge of the self. And by getting the knowledge of the self, it is not studying the sciences. That is not studying your tax code, because at this time we're all worried about how to file our taxes. It's not worried about those rules and things like that. It's not boring. That's the point. As you learn, you will enjoy it. That's the point of this. So bliss, that is honey. That is one meaning, that Brahman is Advaita Eva Makaranda. second meaning of this word makaranda is extract of a flower. Because what is honey? Honey is just the juice, right, that comes from the flowers. So, extract. So, if we take that meaning, then what it means is, in Advaita Makaranda, we will find the extract of all the other scriptures. So, what are the scriptures? Upanishads, Brahma Sutra, Bhagavad Gita. What is the topic of these texts? It is Brahman. It is Jiva Brahma Aikya. The knowledge which tells, I am this Brahman. So, the text which will speak about Jiva Brahma Aikya, combining all of that and taking an extract out of it, a concentrated juice, that is what is put in these 28 verses. If we can understand each shloka and its intricacies, then anytime you go to one of the Upanishads and you hear this word, automatically the doubts will be cleared for us. That automatically thought will come to me, scriptures is not talking about just knowledge, talking about me. We'll see that. We'll see all of that as we see the text. So, extract juice of all the shastras placed in this. That is Advaita Makaranda. And another meaning, Makaranda means bee also. Bee. Honey bee. Those who hover on the flowers, trying to extract the juice out. So Makaranda means be. And in order for the bee to take out the honey, it's not on the flower petals that the honey is just, you know, lurking. The bee has to dig deep, put its, you know, deep into that flower in order to extract out the honey. Then only the honey can come out. So, Advaita Makaranda is inviting all the sadhakas to come and dive deeper into it. So, this text is meant for those who are sincerely seeking the knowledge of the truth and will not shy away by saying this is too tough. They are willing to put their effort in knowing this is myself. They are willing to dive deeper into this knowledge of what is Advaita. So it requires a sincere effort. Now in colleges, they say, right, if you take a 3-credit-hour class, that means during the week, you're supposed to be spending 3 hours in a class. And then outside of that, you spend twice, I think, something like that. So 6 hours. So total 9 hours is what you have to spend per week. So you decide now what is it that you would need. If we spend 1 hour per week, this is 1-credit-hour class. So 3 hours per week you should spend in understanding, grasping. And if we'll have time also for our doubt clarifications and things. if there are any questions as we go along, jot them down. And at the appropriate time, we can have a little bit of Q&A also. Okay. So this text is meant for seekers who are sincere in their effort to learn about the knowledge of the self. Now the text has a certain methodology. So let us also understand that. We are familiar with this terminology, but I will mention it one more time for the sake of our understanding here. What is the text trying to cover and what we need to understand? We know the word pramata. Pramata. And using technical words, but pramata basically means the one who is a seeker of the knowledge. That is pramata. Pramana. We also are aware of that. Pramana. Pramana means the means of knowledge. And prameya. The object that will become known by the knowledge. So pramana, prameya, pramata. Pramana means the means of knowledge. They may all sound similar because they are all prama, prama, prama. So make sure you distinguish it well. Pramana means means of knowledge. Means of knowledge means what? Through which we can understand something. That is the means of knowledge. Okay. So what does that mean? Are you able to see the, you're able to see me, right? What is the means of knowledge that tells you that you are able to see me? What means of knowledge do you have that tells you? It is your eyes, correct? Through your eyes, you are able to know that I'm there. So therefore, the means of knowledge is what? Your eyes. So pramana becomes your eyes. Right. So the means of knowledge for something is called pramana. Prameya is the object known. So when you are able to see me, I am the object that you saw. So therefore, I become the known. So object known, I become the prameya. And pramata, that is you, the person who is wanting to know. So you are the pramata. This pramana, prameya, pramata in the text focuses on prameya. So I'll answer that at a later point. I'll keep that in my notes. Okay. So with the text now, with the Advaita Makaranda, what is the pramana? The pramana or the means of knowledge is the book, the text itself. Or if we look at our scriptures, the scriptures are the means of knowledge. About what? They are the means of knowledge about the self. They are the means of knowledge about what is Brahman. So, pramana is the text. Prameya the object known through the text. That is Jiva Brahma Aikya. What is it that I'm wanting to know from this text? That Brahman and Jiva are not two, but they're one and the same. They're not distinct. This is the knowledge. This is my goal. And who is the Pramata Sadhaka, seeker? So the seeker of truth, seeker of knowledge is the Pramata. This much is clear enough, should be very clear. It's not rocket science that we're talking about. It's very simple logic. Okay. So pramana, prameya, pramata. Now in connection with these three, there are certain doubts. I want to know Brahman. I want to know the nature of the self. This Jiva Brahma Aikya knowledge. But when I come to know, there are certain doubts created. So basically, there are two types of obstacles found in this transaction. Pramana, Prameya, Pramata, two types of obstacles are found. One is called Asambhavana, and second is called Viparita Bhavana or Viparyena. These are technical terms, but basically what Asambhavana means is Asambhava. So you have heard this term, right? Sambhava means possible. Asambhava means not possible, impossible. So asambhavana means doubt. And this doubt, just the word you look at, no? When you say there is a doubt, you say the possibility of the knowledge to take place is not there. What is the doubt really? What is the word doubt really saying? That the possibility for the knowledge to take place, that is not there. That is why there's a doubt. So when we say asambhavana, the connotation is this, that you are thinking that the possibility for that knowledge is not there. Or, you know, you take a similar meaning of the word asambhavana. We call samshaya. Samshaya also means same thing, doubt. And sandeha. Sandeha. This is the beauty of Sanskrit. No? Just by looking at the word, you can tell what the word is saying. When you hear the word doubt, in all three of them, you're doubting what is the difference here. For one word, you're creating three words. But in each word, there's different way to express the doubt. One is saying there is no possibility for knowledge. Asambhava. Samshaya says, Shaya means to sleep. Samshaya means to sleep well. So where your intellect sleeps well, there doubt arises. Why is there a doubt? Why are you doubting? Because your intellect has gone to sleep. That is the meaning of samshaya. Likewise, the word sandeha. Deha is not body. Deha means deha, to burn. Sandeha, to burn well. So all the knowledge that you have accumulated, you burn it and the doubt comes. Meaning, at that moment, the knowledge is burned, so that doesn't come to help you, and you have now doubt in front of you. So where you have burnt your knowledge, that is sandeha. Where you have let your intellect gone to sleep, that is samshaya. And where you say there is no possibility of that, that is sandeha. So this asambhavana is of two types. Two types of asambhava. One is pramana gata asambhavana. Pramana gata asambhava. Do not get bothered by the technical terms because they are very simple. Pramana gata asambhavana means the doubt which is connected with pramana. Doubt which is connected with the pramana, that is pramanagata asambhava. So what is the doubt with connection to the pramana? We said pramana is the scriptures. Pramana is the text. So what is the doubt that is related to the text? The doubt is, what is the text going to talk about? What is the subject matter of the text? There's a doubt about that. Many people, they open up Bhagavad Gita, but still don't know what is the subject matter of Bhagavad Gita. True. The only shloka that they know, Karmanne vadhikaraste baphaleshu kadachada ma karma phala heturbhu ma te sangostu karma. So they'll state one shloka and they say, this is the essence of entire Bhagavad Gita. Oh, that is not the essence of Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is talking about the whole Shastra. But the main import of Bhagavad Gita is Jiva Brahma Ikya. Bhagavad Gita is not talking about simply do your duty, forget about the result. Bhagavad Gita is saying do your duty, forget about the result, so you can become eligible for the knowledge which will give you Jiva Brahma Ikya. So half the context we take, and then we say we, so that is the doubt. So there is not clear knowledge about what the scriptures are telling. Okay, how do I get rid of this doubt? What can I do to get rid of my doubt about what the scriptures tell? I pick up the book and study. Simple enough, right? That is how I get rid of the doubt. So, Shravana is the methodology to remove my doubts related to my text. So, Pramana Gata Asambhavana is removed by Shravana. And Advaita Makranda is not a Shravana Pradhana text. Meaning, it is not a text where we just simply read and close the book and shelf it. It is not a text like that. It's not simply just to know, like how we know the terminologies in Tattva Bodha or how we know the concepts in Atma Bodha. Knowing them is one thing, internalizing it to become convinced that I am that is another. So there comes the second doubt. The second doubt is prameya gata asambhav. So the first doubt was pramana gata, doubt connected to the means of knowledge. Now the second doubt is doubt connected to the object revealed by the text. So we said the text, Advaita Makranda or any of the Upanishads, they talk about the knowledge of Jiva Brahma Aikya. So if they talk about the knowledge of Jiva Brahma Aikya, the doubt is, how can I be that Brahman? How could I be that Brahman? I understood, I got clear understanding of I am this Brahman. At least that is what the scriptures are saying. I can follow what the scriptures are telling. But the doubt is, I cannot be. How can I be this Brahman which the scriptures is talking about? Brahman is nityam, sarvagatam, sukshmam, ajaha, nirvikalpa. So in different ways, the nature of the Brahman is spoken. And I look at myself. I have all the types of vikalpa there. There is all sorts of modification. I know I am not Nitya. I am not Ajaha. I have a birth. And certainly, therefore, I will have death also. So knowing all of this, this is my nature. You are saying my nature is completely opposite to that. How is that possible? So this doubt is what we call as the doubt related to Prameya Gata Asambhava. This prameya gata asambhavana is removed by manan, by us reflecting, contemplating through logic, through the help provided by the scriptures, and also our own personal experience. Our experience will tell us. It doesn't have to be aparoksha anubhuti. It doesn't have to be my experiential knowledge of the self. But with our mind, whatever experiences we have, we can relate to it. And when we relate to it, we will become convinced. So when will I know that manan is over? That my manan is over, we will know when a conviction will come about, I am this Brahman. I am Brahman, I cannot be something other than Brahman. This is book knowledge. It will be book knowledge, but it will be a great conviction for us that I am Brahman. The only thing is, when this conviction comes about, yet I feel I am something contrary to that. I am convinced that I am Brahman, but I don't feel I am Brahman. Meaning the scriptures are telling me I am Nitya. And I can logically understand why I am Nitya. But when I use my mind, when I think, when I act in this world, I am not Nitya. My experience don't tell me I am Nitya. Though my intellect tells me something different, my experience tells me something different. This is a behavioral discrepancy. And that is what we call as viparita bhavana. Contrary tendencies. And my tendency is telling me I am limited. Knowing all too well that sweets don't have joy in them. Why even knowing? We give upadesha to everybody, to children, to spouse, to family, everybody we tell. That somebody who has placed a chocolate on Yamunotri kitchen counter, nobody is watching. Let me swipe a hand, one for myself. Nobody's watching. Let me just take one for myself. Right? That, knowing everything, but still my behavior is contrary to that. That feeling. I don't experience this Brahmanhood. That feeling is called Viparita Bhavana, contrary tendencies. And that is removed by Nididhyasana, by asserting for ourselves, I am this Brahman, by the practice of Dhyana. How in chapter 6, Bhagavan tells Arjuna how to meditate on the nature of the self. From Savikalpa Samadhi to Nirvikalpa Samadhi. In that. So, Advaita Makaranda will cover Prameya Gata Asambhava, which is why it is one of the unique texts, because there are not many texts like this that speak about manana. All we have to do is listen to Lakshmidhara Kavi and Swayam Prakash Ritiji, because they have done the manana for us. All we have to do is churn the thought within us and make that as our thought. So we don't have to come up with new thoughts for ourselves. We just have to align our thinking to their thinking, and we can enjoy that same bliss. Right. So this much, I think, is a very good introduction for us, for the text. Now the next thing, because I'm following, this is also published by, I don't know if it's published or not. There's a text like this. Oh. Okay.
It cannot.
Oh, you know why? The color of the book is green. That's why it is. Yeah, that's why it gets covered up. Anyways, the book is Advaita Makaranda, but it is all in Sanskrit. So you don't really need it. You don't really need it. But this text has some extra shlokas, the beginning and the end of it. And these extra shlokas are the Mangalacharana done by Swayam Prakashayati. So since we are coming closer to the end also, I will not take this shlokas today. We'll cover the shlokas and in the commentary by Swayam Prakash Ritiji starting next class. If you want and you are interested, you can find this copy online also. I don't know if you can see it.
Because of your background picture, it is not seen properly.
Yes, I will stop my background. Okay, this is the book. It looks like this, but there's a PDF copy also out there. Advaita Makaranda. So a PDF copy of this is also out there. If you search Google, you will get it. And that is what I will be following. Not word by word, because this is not our Sanskrit class. And if I go in Sanskrit, I am sure by the end of this 1 week, or by end of next week, only I will be there in the class, and nobody else. So I will summarize what Swayam Prakashitiji is saying in the commentary. If you can follow Sanskrit, you can enjoy it, or you can just learn by the class. Okay. Enough of that blabbering. Let me now stop the recording and we'll go to the question.